Going to be in 1 Corinthians this morning, chapter 1, and just this piece that Paul has put out here. He's talking to this church of Corinth, so he's wanting to speak to this church. This church has got some messy things happening, but it is a good church. It's got great things that God is doing in it, and so Paul wants to share with these guys some things that are very important here, and we're going to be in chapter 1 today, so I'm just hoping that it just comes out the way that it's supposed to, so I pray over that. And just glad you're here today. If we haven't seen you for a while, welcome here. If it's your first time, welcome here. I just want to say this is a New Life Fellowship. I was just sitting there back here thinking about the song Redeemed, those kind of things. And I don't hear these kind of songs we sing a lot of times in our other brothers and our other sister churches sometimes. But I just want to remind you, this church is planted in the inner city of Huntington, Indiana. It is two blocks. It's a block from the courthouse. Anytime you find a church that's a block or two from the courthouse, it is an inner city church. You cannot change it. It's an inner city church. Used to be back in the day where the churches, the big churches, this church here used to have 1,000 members in it. 1,000 members in it. And it was the church downtown besides the Catholic Church on Jefferson. This was the church. There's a great history piece on it. All the hoo-hoo people came. They were part of this church. This wall opened up and went all the way back to the States, went all the way back to that corner. And there was a little podium for the preacher, and all this was filled in. All those were seating up there, and all that over there was seating. There were 1,000 people and just assembled here. And what happens is the churches begin to say, no, I want to move out there. And now you see the church is nothing against. I'm really good friends with the pastors that is the pastoring of this the building that the church that made this building, and so there are good people out there. But somewhere along, they felt like they needed to move out, and they moved out. And they're not 150 people would be a good Sunday. People move for reasons, and the thing is, I think God's still doing great things in the inner city. I think God is doing great things in the inner city. I think that's where you'll find most cities. You'll find that's where your highest crime rate is. That's where you'll find out where the most drug addictions are. The inner city is filled up with a lot of sin. But I'm going to tell you, we're here. We're a lighthouse in this inner city area, trying to shine the light for Jesus and be a gospel church for the Lord. And had no inclinations of ever moving from the inner city. We need to be right here because God's planted us and he's doing amazing things right here. And that's where we're going to go today. So Paul is writing this to the church of Corinth. This is a message to that church. In fact, it says in verse 2, the church of God at Corinth. That's what he writes. But then we want to go down to verse 4. We want to work in verse 4. And he says, I always thank my God for you because of the grace of God given to you in Christ Jesus. Let me just share with you the grace. Grace is one of the hardest things to describe. It's awesome when it's with the Lord. It's God's grace to experience it. As you experience more and more God's grace and you think you figured it out, you didn't. It's just so big. It is so big. It is so big. God's grace is so big. And Paul says, I want to thank God for you guys. I thank God for you guys, but I thank him for the grace that he has given you guys. And I just want to say that God has given a lot of grace here. God has given a lot of grace here. A lot. He's done so many things here in New Life Fellowship as a church. He's done even with the arm of ministry, the New Life Ministries, the arm is by his grace that even functions. God's grace. Well, let's just look at it for a minute, what it might mean, just a little bit about what he's talking about. Here, if you move over here in the verse 26 of chapter 1, verse 26, it's going to break some things down here for a minute. And because, listen, I shouldn't be the guy that's standing up here, not by a long shot. I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be here. You guys shouldn't be doing what you're doing. Half of you guys are serving. But let's see what the Lord says. Let's see what the Bible says about how God uses people. Verse 26 of chapter 1, he says, brothers and sisters, consider your calling. He's saying, listen, I want you to think about what God's called you to do. I want you to think about what God is calling you, what God is using you for right now. This is what he says. Not many were wise from a human perspective. Which means many of us are not very wise in the ways of the flesh of being wise. Yeah. We don't fit. Not many powerful and not many of noble birth, which means we're not blue chips. We're not special because we have a big name behind us. We weren't brought up in a big high family, a big well-known name family. There's nothing really that in the flesh that makes us great and awesome. But it says in verse 22, but instead, God has chosen what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen what is weak in the world to shame the strong. Isn't that something? Makes me feel like I'm not very wise, I'm not very strong, I'm not very powerful, but I'm okay with that. I am definitely okay with that. God didn't choose me because He didn't choose you. He didn't choose this church because it's strong and it's wealthy or it's got all the things that God was looking for. No, not those things at all. But God chose those who are foolish and weak in the world. But He did it to shame the strong. It's amazing how God uses this. God has chosen what is insignificant and is despised in the world. What is viewed as nothing, but to bring nothing, what is viewed as something. We are something here. This is something because only by God. This is something because it's only by God. This is not the church for everybody. Should be, kind of, but it's not. Some people are looking for other things. Some people are looking for a place. And I've heard it so many just from the very beginning. What kind of children's program do you have? It has to be top notch for my family. It has to be top notch. I get it. There's people that need that. I get it. But here it is. The new life. It is what you get. What you get. We try to do the best that we get, the best that we have. But what we're going to do is we're going to make Jesus number one. Jesus is number one. These other things we can adapt and we can make changes, but Jesus is number one. So we were nothing, but God has turned us into something. And it's not something in that view in the ways of the world. It still doesn't mean anything in the ways of the world, but to God, we are something. Because He is doing a work in us, and we're allowing Him to do the work in us, and He's you doing that. And so we come from nothing to something. And then He says in verse 29, so no one may boast in His presence. We can't boast about how awesome we are. Because God took the foolish things like myself and yourself and did something amazing. And so God says, nobody can boast. Paul says, no one can boast in God's presence about how awesome you are. Because listen, I don't care if you got 5 Grammys and you're a great singer. Stand up in heaven and try to compete with them would be, ooh, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. We are nothing without God. We're nothing. We're nothing without God. So that no one may boast in His presence. God chooses those who seem to be unworthy, but God begins to do a work in your life. Think about it when you become saved. You didn't really know what you were doing. You just knew, oh man, God's on me. I feel God's pulling me to a relationship with Him. You try to figure it out. Somebody's helping you, a few people, maybe the church is helping you, guide you toward Jesus. You make that commitment, you have that salvation with Him, and you still are just at the beginning stages, and you begin to work through your life, and you start living your life out. You're still having bumps in your life. But 3-5 years down the road, you find yourself, oh, you're in a class, you're studying, you're over here doing this, you volunteered for this, and you go back and you look back over your shoulder for a moment, and you sit there and you go, wow, where has God brought me from? And we can only say that's from God. And we can only boast in Him. It is from Him. It goes on verse 30. It is from Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became wisdom from God for us on our righteousness, our sanctification, and redemption. So we have these things here. We have those things. Our righteousness, yes, that's that Christ-like living. You can't do that. without Jesus. Amen. You can't live right without Jesus. You can't do that without Him. The sanctification, being set apart. Yeah, you're a believer. You're a part of the family of God. You've been plucked. You've been engrafted. All those things. You are sanctified by what? Not by how good you are. Not by what your name is. Sanctified once again by Jesus Christ. Okay? So you get to feel where these things are coming from. And not just our righteousness and sanctification, but also that redemption. We sing that song, Redeem. And that song seems to be kind of a theme song here because people like to sing that song because I think we remember where God has brought us from to where He's taken us to today. Because we've all been redeemed. If we have Christ in our life, we've been redeemed. We've been redeemed from that lifestyle, pulled out of that lifestyle. God redeemed you to Himself so that He might use you, that He will use you, right? Ephesians 2:10 says this, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us." Yes, for us to do. So God didn't just save you to save you. He saved you also that He's going to do a work in your life. And to collectively, He's doing a work in all of our lives here that are a part of New Life Fellowship. That we have ministries, that we are doing things, that we're doing a lot of things. And for a church our size, it really doesn't make sense. It's gained national news to the Baptist piece. It's gained a lot of things. And because they just can't understand a couple of things. Number one, how does a small church do such big things? Well, I keep reminding them, it's not that a small church is doing it. It's just that we need to remember how big God is. God can do a lot with nothing. Yeah. So I keep reminding them, quit thinking that we're just a small church. It is that God is doing something. That's it. God is doing something. And it's only by Him. And that's why the Scripture says, in order that it is, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. So anything that I've got to boast about, anything I'm going to give kudos or just say, be excited about and share with you or share with people, I'm going to put Jesus right in the midst of it. Let me tell you what God is doing. Let me tell you what God has done in my life. Let me tell you what God is doing at New Life Fellowship. Let me tell you what God is doing in so-and-so's life. Let me tell you what God is doing in this person's life. Now let me tell you what God wants to do in your life. Because God wants to do something in your life too. God wants to do His miracles, His things in your life too. God is an amazing God. And I don't think God's sitting over there just watching life go by. I think He's a part of it. He wants to be a part of your life still. He also continues, wants to work in your life. Back to verse 5, He says that you were enriched. He says that you were enriched in Him in every way, in all speech and knowledge. Wow. And we were enriched that God continued to, through Christ, gave us so much. Yes. Speech. I didn't know how to talk about the things of God. I didn't know how to do those things. I didn't know how to the words, what sanctification and redemption and all those beautiful big words. But God gives us this speech that we can speak right, that we can speak about these things. He says our knowledge, that God gives knowledge in every way, that we are strong in those ways. And people out there today are looking for so many people are looking for this quest. What is the purpose of life? Why am I here? Why do I wake up every day? And people climb mountains all the time. They climb mountains, they get to the top, they get successful, they get up there and they go, I have no peace. That's where I was in my life in 30. I have no peace. And you go climb another mountain. I have no peace. And you conquer these things and you're like, what's going on? What is the purpose of life? What is the purpose of life? What is the quest of life? And you know what? Because we're believers, God's given us the knowledge, we should all know the answer to that question. And if you don't know the answer to that question, I would almost think that maybe you don't have Christ like you think that you have. Because the answer to that question is the purpose of life is to live my life out for God the Creator and Jesus the Savior. To live my life the way God wants me to live it. That He intended it for me to live. So I can answer, you can answer that question when people have the quest of life. What is the answer to life? The answer is to know God. To know Jesus. To be the creation that He has created. Yes, those things are good things. Those things are great things to be a part of. And you have answers for this world that doesn't know the answers, but they have a lot of questions. So I ask you, when's the last time that you've shared the gospel with someone? People go, I don't know how to share the gospel. Just tell them, just start off by just telling people what Jesus has done in your life. And the Holy Spirit will lead you. The Holy Spirit will lead you. And there's some things you can tweak and you can learn, but I'm just saying the Holy Spirit has a way, and that door is open, and you just step into it. You let the Holy Spirit take over, and He'll put words in your mouth, and you'll be like, where did that come from? Because, listen, you're talking about spiritual things. Because when God says He's enriched us with knowledge, that means we know about things that the world doesn't know. Do you know special things that the world doesn't know because you're a believer? You also know about eternal things. Yeah. You know about eternal things. You know about eternal things. You know that every person will stand before God and give an account. You know that a person that has Christ has salvation and has it eternally. You know that a person that doesn't have Christ that is lost, that the Bible talks about being lost, is a person that is unsaved, that a person that has the destination in front of them at that moment, that is hell, is separation from God. You know about eternal things. You are filled up with so much knowledge. You are filled up with so much richness, spiritual richness, that the darkness doesn't want you to know that you have this in you. That you got so much inside of you that God can use to lead others away from darkness, to lead others to the light of God, to the salvation through Christ. You have so much in you that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That when you pray, your words aren't just going out like a lost person or like a football game. It's just going out and it just goes, and when it's said, it's done. No, when you speak words and you have speech and you have knowledge and you speak that out as a believer, it means something because the Holy Spirit is inside of you. It means something because the Bible says if you're living your life in the way that God wants it, your prayers are powerful. That's what He says in James chapter 5. So what you have inside of you is there's so much that's inside of you that you walk around as a strong person, not because of yourself, but because who reigns inside of you. The one you've allowed to live inside of you, that you can walk around. Listen, it talks about moving mountains. I'm telling you, you can move mountains. Listen, the mountain thing. Listen, we can move mountains today. Did you know that? We can take bulldozers and dynamite and we can move a mountain. But the mountains God's talking about is things that it's impossible. Because back then they couldn't really move a mountain. But if they kept pushing people and work it, they could move a mountain. We're talking about moving a mountain from here to there. Just like that. And believers, we don't understand. We still struggle with the power that God has. Listen, there's no reason we should be where we are here today. Listen, I've had so many people tell me, I gotta be careful. So many people has told me that it doesn't make sense how you guys do your stuff financially. It doesn't make sense. Of course it doesn't make sense, because you're thinking of it through the worlds and the ways of the flesh. Now, is there wisdom and knowledge and finances? Yes, there is. But when God gets in the equation of things, you got to put God in the front. And this is where churches make a mistake. We're going to put our finances in the front, and then we're going to ask God to bless it. We're going to get all of our stuff ready, and then we're going to ask God to bless it. No. First of all, you ask God, what do you want? And you let Him lead, and you follow Him. Instead of you say, God, let's follow, you follow us. And then we find out that those churches don't have very many testimonies. They don't see God moving much. God's moving through people, but through the church, you don't listen. That's a big piece right there. Listen, look at the church. If it's God's not, God can be moving through some people, but if he's not moving through the church, something's wrong. I would almost say that most of the time, if there's not, if sin could be involved with there, but if it's not, I'm telling you, people can, a church can be so much into their finances. Oh, we have to have a savings account. Now, savings accounts are good, but you got to be careful because there's churches out here that I know of that have six figures in their savings account. I'm not saying it's wrong, but if you look at that and say, oh, we can't spend any of that money, listen, it's not our money anyway. We have to be good stewards, and I don't think God wants us to sit there and not use what God's given to us. It needs to be used for his kingdom, because if God comes today, he doesn't want to see a bunch of money in the savings account. He's looking for souls, not money. He owns everything anyway, right? He's looking for souls. He's looking for people that are serving him faithfully. He's looking for people who are worshiping him. He's looking for people who are straining and fighting against the flesh to live their life in the way that God wants them to live out their righteousness, to live out their sanctification, and live like they've been redeemed. Amen? And so we see that. So we can't let finances be a problem. And sometimes it seems like it is at times. But we can't let finances lead. And we find that churches struggle so much because they say, oh, a new life is not about the finances. I don't understand, you guys, the finances. How can you do it? The second thing is the uneducated piece. You're using people that have been through addiction. You've used people that have had addiction or doing going through their process. Or you got people that are not highly educated. You got people that are uneducated. You got people that haven't even graduated high school. You got people. It's okay. God's not looking for a checklist for you to check off everything. God continues to grow people. Is it good to go out and get your GED or whatever they call it now? Yes, go out and get it. Accomplish things. God wants us to accomplish things. But listen, God's not looking at all this stuff so that he can say, oh, you guys look like you're awesome. I'm going to use you because you have all this. No, God will use you when you say, my heart, Lord, here it is. Here's my life. I give you my life. Use it. What do you want me to do? I'm giving you myself. Use me. Use me. And God will use you, and he will use the church in the same way. It is an amazing piece. It is an amazing thing. You guys are seeing testimonies in front of you. Don't get hard on seeing those. Be excited. Be refreshed. Ask God to give you a renewed spirit if that's what you need. If that's what you need. He goes down here to verse 6. He says, In this way, the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you so that you do not lack any spiritual gift. As you eagerly wait for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, he will also strengthen you to the end so that you will be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, God is faithful. You were called by him into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. What do we see here? Paul is reminding the people, you do not lack any spiritual gift. You do not lack any spiritual gift. Now, here we go. We don't lack any spiritual gift here either, I don't think. The gifts are here, but they might be buried. Come on now. The gifts are here, but they might be buried. Oh, I look out here and I know some of you are gifted and you're not using your gift. I'm telling you, God's given each one of us at least one spiritual gift. Some of you, he's given more. But I'm just telling you, your spiritual gift is, the spiritual gifts that we need are here. And the church today, we are afraid to talk about spiritual gifts. The church is sometimes afraid to talk about spiritual gifts. People, Christians, a lot of times don't want to talk about spiritual gifts because the first thing they say is, I don't want to make another commitment. Listen, if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, your whole life is your commitment. Come on now, your whole life is your commitment to him. We don't say, oh, I want saved, I want all what God has for me, and I get all what he's given to me, and then I'm only going to give him 20% of my life, or I'm only going to give him Sunday morning, and I'm doing great because that's what... No, you made a commitment. You said, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Make me new. Make me fresh. Redeem me. Forgive me of my sins. Save my life. And he does that. That means you give your life to him. Live like you've been saved. Live like you've been redeemed. Quit complaining. What you got to complain about? Has he been bad to you? Now, we got to be honest. Sometimes we got a little bit angry with God a few times here and there. But in the Spirit, God straightens us out. It doesn't take long, does it? Amen? Come on now. We got to quit complaining about the things of God. Oh, I work too hard. Listen, you want to go back to these days? I'm going to go preach over here. That's a 40-mile walk. I tell you what, the church, well, number one thing, the church has got to do two things. Number one, it's got to return back to loving people that don't look like themselves. And number two, you got to stop complaining. Stop complaining. It is a privilege. It is the grace of God that we're even allowed to serve. It is the grace of God that we're even allowed to say, Lord Jesus, thank you so much. I don't care who sees my hands. Thank you so much. I'll tell you what, the day this church ends up raising their hands, listen, it's not that it's raising the hands. You have to break this before you can do this. To do it right. You can fake this. But to do this, this place will jump into a revival. To do this. It's just physically this. It's breaking this first. I'm all in. I'm not complaining anymore. I'm all in. I'm just telling you, the spiritual gifts are here. But a lot of them are buried. And we're going to pull that out in 2025 as much as we can. I'm praying about it. We're going to pull that out. Because some people need a break. Yeah. Now, I will want to break into this. I got a couple of minutes. I'm going to break into this for a minute. This is a little bit more on teaching here. Cessationists. Listen, that when we talk about spiritual gifts, anytime we talk about spiritual gifts, there's about three of them that we struggle with: prophecy, healings, and speaking in tongues. So, you're like, oh, no, so there's 18. And there's a couple more. There's 18. Some people say, is there 18? Is there 21? Or is there 22 spiritual gifts? And so we can struggle through that. And I don't think that's worth fighting over. I really don't. I think it's a good Bible study. I think as you can dig in there, and it's not about finding out who's right or wrong. I think it is about learning. I think it's about learning. I think the churches need to, I think the denominations need to quit fighting about what's right or wrong and just keep learning. Is there wrongs right? Yes, there is. I'm not saying not to learn, not to say you can't draw a line on some things. But the continuationists, those are people who continue to believe that the spiritual gifts are still continuing on. Not sensationalists, but cessationists believe that those healing, prophecy, and speaking in tongues, might be one or two others, that they ceased. They ceased after the apostles had passed on. But regardless, it doesn't matter. God is still moving. Amen? It doesn't matter that God is still moving. I still believe that God heals people. I still believe in the spiritual gift of healing. But here's what it is. I don't think that it's going up in front of a crowd of 1,000 to 5,000 to 20,000 people charging tickets to come in and get a healing. That's not how Jesus did those things. Nope. I believe God is doing. I believe those people that have that gift are out there doing it, but they're doing it out there in the highways and byways, not to get the notoriety and all the fame. God doesn't know. But it's that one-on-one where God is doing something through someone to heal someone. I think it's an amazing thing. But regardless, we have a lot of things that we are doing here. And we need the spiritual gifts. And we need them to rise up out of people, out of you guys, so that we can get people to listen. You shouldn't just come here on Sunday morning and just say, I'm come to attend. After so long, you just say, okay, maybe it's time for me to start serving. Our nursery department needs help. Let me tell you about nursery. I was in a church one time where they were throwing a fit on who's going to do the nursery because they couldn't get anybody out there. The church was full. And I just got mad enough and I just went downstairs and I took care of the kids. I had more peace with those kids than I did what was going on in the church. It is a ministry to serve. I don't care what you do. It is a ministry. When God calls you to serve somewhere, He sees it and listen. You can love on babies, and I'm telling you what, I think Jesus loves babies too. And if you're going to hold them up and you're going to take care of them and do that for just 40 for an hour, that's a blessing. And I think you'll get more out of it than you think. We need help in those. And we're going to hit these areas in a couple of weeks. But and y'all make sure you come back. Yeah. So Jesus will strengthen you all the way till the end. Don't think that you're going to weak. Don't think you're going to get a. You don't think you're just going to break down and just not make it. Listen, you got to have faith. It says in Philippians 1:6, I am sure of this. Paul's writing to the people of the people of Philippians. He says this, I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it out to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. This is going to keep going, whether I'm here or not. This is going to keep going. This is what God has set forth. He said it'll go until he says it's done. And we just need to be found faithful. This is the generation right now. This is the decade right now. We are the people that are here. We need to be faithful. We need to be faithful and we need to be serving. We need to complete what God has called us to do. We need to do that. God is faithful. And sometimes we find ourselves, well, we kind of slack sometimes. Amen? But let me give you this reminder. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, sometimes that we are, he, as Jesus, remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. Isn't that amazing? God is working with the people that are flawed. Even with the Holy Spirit that God puts inside of each believer, we are still a flawed people on this earth because we live in the flesh. And the flesh is sinful. The flesh is the sinful side. And he still puts up with us. He still works with us. He still does great things through people who are sinners, but yet Christians at the same time. But you know something? When I'm as a Christian, it's different. When you're lost and you sin, it's different than when you are Christian and you sin. When you're lost in your sin, it's just like you figure out what's good and what's right, what's wrong, and you make decisions, and you have a conscience, and you can feel bad about something, you may not feel bad about something. But as a believer, as Christians, when we sin, the Holy Spirit begins to move in ourselves and begins to convict us and saying, buddy, you know what you're doing is wrong, and it begins to come out that what you're thinking is not right. It's not righteous. And then what you did to this person. And then all of a sudden there's a weight that the Holy Spirit puts on you. You know what? I'm thankful for that weight. Aren't you? I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit when he convicts us, because the flesh would say, oh, it's okay. But even when we're going through our pieces, and we may seem like we're right and that person was wrong, the Holy Spirit still convicts us because we don't judge. We don't need to judge in the ways of the flesh. It should all be by the Spirit. And so Paul says to the church of Corinth, I've got some things I want to say. Oh, there's some big things later on that he says. But he says, I thank God for you all. And I thank God for God's grace that is on you. Because Paul knew without God's grace, they would not even be together as a church. Without God's grace, we wouldn't even be here today. Some of your marriages would be in turmoil. You wouldn't even be here today without God's grace. You may not even have the job that you have without God's grace, or even the house that you have without God's grace. You ever meet a person that was mean and turned and come to Christ and became a big teddy bear? It's hard to look at a 6'2" guy that used to be hard and tough, and all of a sudden now he's a big teddy bear all the time. I met a few guys like that. But you know what? That's what God can do. God can take a mean person and turn into a gentle person. God can take a mean individual, nasty person and turn him into a loving, kind, compassionate person. And I still think he wants to do some of that. Be careful that you don't wear your sin, your past sins, as a badge of honor. You have an addiction, you come out of addictions, don't use it as a badge of honor. Use God as a badge of honor. Use God. Give God the boasting. Give God the praise. Give God the acknowledgement of what he's done in your life. give God the glory of what He's doing. All the things that He's doing, and we're going to talk about those things coming up here next week, about what all God has done through 2024, and I'm telling you, it is amazing what He has done. But I'm going to say every one of them has been done only by Him. Only by Him. Because it says here in Scriptures that he that boasts, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. And so we're going to boast in the Lord. But today, we need to be reminded that we couldn't do anything outside of God's grace. I can't be up here outside of God's grace. I would not be here if I was following my own fleshly desires. Me and Carla would not, my life would have been over. And some of yours too. Some of yours too. God is still calling people to Himself. God is still calling people to Himself. He's calling people that don't know Him to come to Him, to start a relationship for salvation, that they need salvation, forgiveness of all those sins in their life, to be redeemed. But God is also calling Christians to wake up. Stir up the fire. Fan up the flame that you used to have. Stir it up. And let me tell you, when Paul told Timothy that, Timothy was a go-getter, but somewhere Timothy was struggling. And Paul says, buddy, you got to stir it up. Sometimes we get in those places where we got to stir up our fire, that spiritual fire in our life. I just know this, God is always speaking. He speaks through His Spirit. The Spirit is inside of us, and He speaks to us on a daily basis and guides us in this direction. And maybe the direction for you today is says, it's time to get right with Him. For you that's been a prodigal, sometimes it's saying it's time to come home. When you tell a Christian it's time to come home, you don't have to say anything else. They know. They know. They know. Father, as we get ready to go to this moment in our service, I pray, Father, Your will would be done, and only Your will. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand.